Hello and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in today as we go live to Hope City, Sheffield. We pray that this message inspires, encourages, and builds your faith as you listen. Enjoy the message.
How you doing? Are you feeling a little bit better? A lot of people have been ill this week through various, I don't know what it is. I think on Monday night I had like five duvets on me and my feet were still cold. You know, I don't know if that's age or what. And so I sucked my feet. I said, Jen, go and get my socks. And I stuck my feet out the side of the bed as she put my socks on and slid them back in. I was just too cold to do anything that... Feeling better now. She's preaching in Liverpool this morning. There's a running joke in our family, and that is whenever I leave the house to go to the car, and if Jen's home, she knows I'll be back. She knows I'll be back. She just waits a minute, and then she hears the keys rattling the door, because I've always forgotten something. Like always. I don't know what it is. I think I'm rushing to get out. And then I'll sit in the car and they'll start the car up, reverse out from the... Then I'll bring the car back, turn the keys off, grab my phone, go back. Well, either I'm missing my phone or I'm missing some notes or... And often, if Jen's not there, I'm missing the fact, did I turn the iron off? Oh my goodness me. I was okay about it for years. I just didn't care if I had or hadn't. But now, you know, Jen says, you know, the house is going to burn down if you don't go back. And I'm thinking, well, if that's the case, should be a lot of burnt down houses around the neighborhood. So I'm always, you know, like 3 miles from home thinking, oh, I'm just going to have to go back. So I'll drive back. It's terrible, that, isn't it? I was talking to a number of years ago to Becky Gordon. I don't know if she's here, and that she says with her hair straightener, she's fearful that she's left the heat on her hair straighteners, and so she'll always take a photograph every morning of her hair straighteners to prove to her while she's coming in she's actually turned them off. And I always turn the iron off now, and I always say iron off. And it's slightly weird, right? But it does work, though, because I think, yeah, Dave, you did say iron off this morning. So I'm always kind of going back. But what I want to say about that is that just because I'm going back doesn't mean that I'm going backwards. And just because you're going back to get something, it doesn't mean you're going backwards. In actual fact, you going back to get something means you're going forwards. And so not every backward step is going backwards. Sometimes it's going back to get something you need in order to go forwards. I think it's important for me to say that because a lot of us have got a fear, you know, that our favorite scripture is the old is gone and the new has come. And even though it's part faith, it's also part fear. Because we hate looking back. We hate going back. We hate reviews. We're fearful that the future's going to catch up with us. And so, you know, if I was to retitle this message, it would be called Go Back. Because going back's not going backwards. It's go back and get something that you might have left in the past or you might have left in the distant past. Go back and get it because you need this thing for your future. We've been doing that the last 18 months as the church, thinking, hey, what's our roots? What's the beginnings of Hope City Church? And I want to say, I've parked the car up, taken the kids out, gone back home, which is the roots of everything we've done, scurried round upstairs, grabbed the thing that we've been missing, in order to accentuate the journey that's becoming amongst us. And you need to do that as well. You know, sometimes the word repent is seen to be a bad word. Let me get a scripture that's a really famous scripture about repentance. And it's Revelations 2 verse 4 and 5. And I'll prove something from this verse, right? It says, you've forsaken, this is Jesus to the church in Ephesus, right? He spoke to 7 churches in the beginning of the book of Revelation. And this is what he said to the church in Ephesus. He said, you've forsaken the love you had at first. Repent and do the things you first did. All he's saying is get out of the car, go back into the house, go back into the master bedroom, get your first love back. And when you get that back, you're going to get the works that you did at first are going to come back. Then get back in the car because you're going to need your first love. And you know, we've kind of done that in the prayer meetings lately in Hope City Church. Because if you're like me, I'm a bit pragmatic with God. He's become a little slot machine. And I just add my prayers hoping for instant answers. And God kind of shies away from that. And I know why. And then I complain, God, you haven't answered. And I'm realizing that God's not a machine. He's a person. He's a personality. And so instead of loving his hand more than his heart, I think we've kind of starting to love his heart more than his hand. And I'm trying to take God out of the half Nelson, trying to take God out of the demand stage and believe that he says yes to his promises, but that I might not be an impetuous, spoiled child. You know, living the 21st century, entitlement age. That he is God, no matter whether he does everything or nothing. He's God. And I think, I think the beautiful thing about Solomon is that God said, you can have anything you like, what would you like? He said, I like wisdom. And God said, because you've asked for wisdom, I'll give you everything else. That suddenly God was freed from a half Nelson, from a World Wrestling Federation move. He was freed to be God. And you know, I got to admit, it's taking a little bit of time to defrost this old heart of mine. From a legalistic relationship with God that's duty bound to a delightful relationship with God that at least gives God the option, even if you don't release me from this fire, even if Nebuchadnezzar puts the heat up another 10 times, even if we die in this place, I'm still going to love you. And you know, the moment I say that, I feel more in love with God than I have for years. The moment I take the conditions off God, it enhances my love for God. Can you see? So it says, repent, return to the works of your first love. Can you see how it's not a bad thing? Repent means turn 180 degrees. And you think, well, gosh, that's waste. No, you're actually coming back on course through repentance. Say off course, repent. The moment you turn 180 degrees, you're back on course. I don't know why you don't repent more. I don't know why you don't say sorry more. Same relationally. Got it in for him. I forgive them. Bang. Now you're back into destiny. We should do it more often. And you know, as a church, we want to return to the works that we did at first. How passionate. And when you're in love, you walk on broken glass, climb the highest mountain, swim the deepest ocean. And then after a while, you can't even get out of the bath. I'm going to take you back to 1997 to a song by Savage Garden called Truly Madly Deeply. Because it kind of expresses a little bit of first love. I'll be your dream. I'll be your wish. I'll be your fantasy. I'll be your hope. I'll be your love. Be everything you need. I love you more with every breath. Truly, madly, deeply do. I'll be strong. I will be faithful because I'm counting on a new beginning, a reason for living, a deeper meaning. I want to stand with you on the mountain. I want to breathe with you in the sea, breathe in the sea. I want to lay like this forever until the sky falls down on the tune. It's called First Love. It's not written by someone who'd been married 14 years. I'll tell you why. It's because it's easy to lose the very thing that sets you up for your future. Holding absolutely nothing back for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Jen and I used to live in abject poverty. Well, it's not abject poverty world related, but Western related. We, for the sake of Jesus Christ, we had nothing. So if Jen was to buy something, she bought something from Oxfam. And if she had a little bit more money, she'd make something. But she never went to a shop, a proper shop. You know, one time I went to the Tip and Jen loved, she admired a mohair that was trendy in Australia at the time. I've got no reason why. It's quite soft to touch though. And she said, oh, I so like those mohair cardigans. I backed up the Tip, opened up the first bag just to snoop around, see if there's something valuable here. Bang, mohair cardigan. Rewrapped it. Sprayed it. She said, Dave, you're unbelievable. She bought a top, this is a shirt from Oxfam in Australia, and then as she was ironing it, like 10 pounds flew out. So they're titchy stories. But when someone plucked you a flower that wasn't from a cemetery, on their way to meet you in Fargate many years ago. It's small, but it's beautiful. And if we could go back to our first love with God and do the works, it's not all the great works. It's sometimes the small works, the small acts of love. But underneath is a huge tsunami of sacrifice that we'd do absolutely anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell a story that we had no food once and I was out doing some maths Jewish and the lady said, I can't even pay you, so can you do it without pay? I'm thinking, well, we can't even eat. And so you're putting me in jeopardy here. And just the last half an hour of me doing this maths Jewish, she bakes a pizza and a cake. She says, I don't know if you want this. As the Niagara Falls was coming from my mouth. And I went home and Jen's there in faith about to eat the table. I throw the pizza 20 feet through the air. It lands directly underneath her. And we were able to eat that night. I'm taking you back to the times of the works associated with first love. You'd do absolutely anything. If there was one passion I'd have for you, it's this church had become passionate. Less functional, that you'd be so passionate for God. I remember back in my internship year, I fasted over 120 days out of 360 days. Now, call that stupid, but it's the stupidity of love. So what I'm saying is, and the Bible says repent, it's for our advantage, it's not for our disadvantage. And you know, as a church, God's been saying to me, go back to your origins, go back to your roots, recalibrate, re-strengthen. And I've thought through how many other go backs are there, especially in the Old Testament. And off by heart, I could think of 5 go backs off by heart. And so I've made 5 decisions that we need to make as a church based on the 5 go backs that were throwbacks to throw forwards from the Bible. And the first decision to go back is found in Genesis 31 verse 3. It says, then the Lord said to Jacob, go back to the land of your fathers. Go back to to the land of your fathers. And if you know about the story of Jacob, he'd run away from the land of Canaan from his birthright. And he lived in a place called Haran for 20 years that was outside the boundaries of the land of Canaan. 20 years living in the shadow of Canaan, but not experiencing Canaan. Working for his uncle Laban for 20 years. And the Spirit of the Lord said, it's time to go back to the land of your fathers. As a church, we come from an outbreak of the Spirit of God in Australia. And in Australia, I remember the assistant pastor of Hillsong Church in Australia coming into my office and saying to me, we are so excited. Hillsong has just cracked 1,000 people between their morning service and their night service. And they were so excited about it. And it was a part of a church revolution where that was an extremely large church. But then churches started to crop up all around about the place. We started Youth Alive over there with 300 people at a go-kart rally. When Jen and I finished 5 years later, there was 10,000 people at the Brisbane Entertainment Center. That's called a move of the Spirit of God. But it started with apostles and prophets. It started with an apostolic revolution. And an apostolic revolution is a revolution of breakthrough. It's a breakthrough revelation. And we're going to come back to our forefathers and come back to an apostolic revolution. This church is here for faith and is here for breakthrough and is here to go where no man has gone before. That's the Spirit of Christ. It's here to be a large church. It's here to be a multi-site church. We are a breakthrough generation. If you haven't realized it, pinch yourself. We're not just a pastoral church. We're not just an evangelical church. We're not just a prophetic church. We're an apostolic church that contains all of the other ministries. Every other ascension gift is contained within the apostolic church. We're here to mean business, not just to hold the fort. We're here not just to survive. We're here to thrive. We're here to multiply ourselves across the earth. That's what we're born for. That's where we've come from. And as God said to Jacob, go back to the land of your fathers. Hope City Church, listen to me, is going back to the land of his fathers. We're not here to tread water. We're not here to maintain territory. We're here for breakthrough and to move forward in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aha. Love Romans 4 verse 17. It says, he's our father in the sight of God. The God gives life to the death and calls into being things that were not. Calls things that are not as though they already are. Do you know every city that we've been in as a church and including the 12 cities that we're in currently, plus historically, we started Hope City Manchester that became Audacious Church. We started Hope City Rotherham that's become Hope Church. That in all 14 locations plus other derivatives of that, there wasn't one place that we knew anybody in. We'd be practically the only church in the world that would go to a place where we have no contacts. What is that? That is calling things that are not as though they already are. We never get invited anywhere. We break in everywhere. That's who we are. We're eternal criminals for the kingdom of heaven. That's who we are, fun-loving criminals for the kingdom of heaven, breaking into cities, breaking into opportunities. We're not here to wait for an invitation. We're agents of breakthrough. Jen and I had a break in Dubai, as she always corrects me. And I'm thinking 2021, Hope City Dubai sounds good to me. 80% of the population is expat. 80% an expat. I'm not saying expat British. I'm saying expat Indian. I'm saying expat Australian, expat American, 20% expat Iranian. There's only 25% of the city is actually directly from United Emirates. It's just a place of incredible breakthrough. And then I thought, if not us, who's it going to be? If not in 2021, where on earth will you place this day? Are you going to wait for a lethargic church to rise up in 10 years' time? Or are you going to whip them?
into shape and extract the apostolic spirit from within each one of these people. It means there are internship class that starts in September 2020 is going to be jammed. We've designed it so you don't need to leave work. You just need to leave work one day a week. But, you know, it's going to cost something. But this is the costly people. This is the people who walk on broken glass because they love God with a vengeance. I want the passion that Greta Thunberg has for this earth to be in you for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is of so much more value than the physical earth. We're not going to spend all our time on your physical body when you're a soul and you're a spirit. The most important thing in this world, the most important mission in this world is the kingdom of God coming upon this earth. Tired now? And it applies to us redigging the wells of mercy. I'm staggered by City Hearts. And during the week, Stuart and Darren were on Look North. I could hardly get their heads under this building this week because they finally struck fame. Not fortune yet, but they suddenly struck fame and thinking, look at us, we're on Look North. I know it's a pretty good show, you know, but a lot of people watch it in America to catch up what's going on. I know it's big in Australia, Look North, you know. But what's happening? What is this? What is this thing called City Hearts that goes through the back streets and goes through the back alleyways and gets into the lives of people who you'd never touch going in through the front? What is this? Well, I've got to say it's apostolic. It's just manifesting the spirit of speak the things that are not as though they already are. I think you've forgotten about that because you're so touchy-feely, so millennial. Stop being so millennial. You don't want to be touchy-feely in the cutting edge of your life. Be touchy-feely back here, but not on the cutting edge. The cutting edge is reserved for faith and belief and crystal belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let feelings gather around it, but don't allow feelings to take over from faith. Faith leads the pack. And I'll just put a proviso on that just so no one writes to me about millennials, right? I believe in being touchy-feely. I never used to, but I really believe in it now because it creates health and it creates color on a black and white picture. But you've got to have guidelines of faith. Otherwise, it'll be beautiful, but it'll be valueless. And we're here to do the works of Christ. Decision number two, and so that's the decision to go back to the start. Decision number two is from 1 Kings 19, verse 15. It says, the Lord said to Elijah, go back the way you came and go into the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Haran, and then go on an anointing spree. So decision two is to go back to where you left off. Go back to where you left off. So here's Elijah, you know, confronting the prophets of Baal, seeing fire come down from heaven, full of faith, and then the king's wife, Jezebel, who hates him, says, I'm going to kill you. And a spirit of fear came upon him, so he decides to go for a marathon run. And he's running for 40 days and 40 nights, ends up in a cave, sees an earthquake, lightning, thunder, and God says, not in all of that. Then he hears a still small voice, and God was in the still small voice. And that's the voice that said to him, go back the way you came. Go back to the place where you hopped off destiny and go on an anointing spree and start to use the gifting that God's given you. But it's very difficult to do that after you failed. And there's a lot of people in Hope City Church that feel like they failed. They feel like they've let God down. you know, even the half an hour moment of madness can lead to 3 years of feeling underrated by God because you've got a performance-related relationship with God. And you find it very, very hard to come out of a sense of being disappointed in yourself. But I would say to you, go back the way you came. Get back to being an anointed man, an anointed woman of God. The thing about failure is you can expect it. It's a part of the road to success. But the thing about failure and success is the person who succeeded got up one more time than the person who failed. So I've got to say to you, get up, brush yourself down, and go back to where you left the call of God. Come on, church. Some of you used to be geniuses for the kingdom of God. Now you're just plain average. I realize where averageness has come from because fear's gripped you, because depression's gripped you, a sense of failure's gripped you. And the only way to fight fear is with faith. There's no other way. If you're fearful about leaving your house in the morning and it's confined you to a small, the first thing to do is take one step out of the house. That'll do for the day. The next day, take two steps out. That'll do for that day. In 100 days, you're at the shops. And what are you doing? You're fighting fear with faith. You cannot get healed in the house. You get healed on the pathway between the house and the shops. And so Elijah mustered himself up. He stood up, brushed himself down, and lived a victorious end part of his life. Get up and go back. I love Haley. Haley Hooks is driving Jen this morning to Liverpool. I just love her story. You know, she was like born in Kenya. At 6 years of age, they went to Australia and set up in Adelaide. Her dad's a school teacher, or he's a head teacher, like very important Christian head teacher. And at 18 years of age, she makes her way over here and ends up in our internship class. And has a great year, and then decides to go to Ghana at 19 years of age. So she ends up with our team in Ghana, and is doing a great job. But then this pressure over there, there's all kinds of spiritual forces over there, and you're isolated over there. And so she begins to have just a bit of a breakdown within her mind, and she straddles between faith and fear. And eventually fear and the inability to process, the inability to get herself up took hold of her. And so eventually under all of our guidance, she went back to Australia. And so she went back to Australia and she's living there for a year. I think it's the 21st year she's living in Australia. And then Jen's thinking, hey, I kind of need someone just to be a wingman for me in the stuff that I'm doing. Who shall I get? She thinks of Haley Hooks, 10,000 miles away. So she contacts her and says, what do you think about coming back into the fray? And immediately within 6 hours, Haley says, I'll be there. She's back over. Within 3 months, she's back over. And now she's back. Oh, I can't rate that woman highly enough. She's back. She's only, like, how old is she now? 25 years of age. She's back. And sure, there's been signs since she come back, signs of a history of a little bit of mental illness, but every day she gets up is another dart in the eyes of Satan. Every season she rises up is another crushing of the enemy's plans. Every day she is just throwing darkness. She's getting stronger and stronger because that's how it works. It's not instant strength. It's strength upon obedience to the Spirit of God. But she went back to where she had left off. And now she's flying for the kingdom of God. She's got a limp, but don't we all? And every limp I've got proves, Dave, you're not here by your own might or power. You're here by the power of the Spirit of God. That's why you've got a limp. That's why life's not perfect. Because if it was, you'd forget immediately about God. So you've got a reminder. It might be a horrific memory, but it's a reminder. Might be something that pesters you. It might be an Ishmael. Whatever it is, it's good news for you, because it's not by might or power, it's by the Spirit of God. Decision number three, Luke 8:39, Jesus said to the man who had 1,000 demons in him, go home and tell how much God has done for you. To keep it, go back, NLT, New Living Translation says, no, go back to your family and tell them everything that God's done for you. So he went all through the town proclaiming the great things that Jesus had done for him. So this is go back to mission. This guy wanted to cling on to Jesus. He'd been healed by Christ. He'd had a spirit of violence. Every chain that was put on him, but he ripped apart. He ran naked across the hills. And even Jesus had a problem going to see him, because a huge storm arose upon the lake as he was about to approach this man. Just everything was against this man being healed. And then Jesus said, what's your name? And he said, be released. He found 1,000 pigs that were being farmed on a hillside. Every pig committed suicide. And the man was freed. And he wanted to cling on to Jesus. And Jesus said, don't cling on to me. There's a town to win. And you know, each one of us straddles between the presence of God and the presence of the people. And even Peter wanted to build a hut on the Mount Transfiguration. And Jesus said, this is just for a moment right now. Eventually, you'll live in the presence of God. But there's people in the valley that need healing. So get out. We're not building a permanent abode here on Mount Transfiguration when there's a valley full of 1,000 people who are indecision, who need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. May I suggest we get back to mission. Banter, 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 party, party, party. Mission, 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 mission. Get filled with the Holy Spirit, then get out and release that Holy Spirit upon your world. You can do it. Stop being strangled by, oh, will you come to church? Stop strangling people. Be the flippin' church. Yeah, they don't need to come to church in order for you to release church all over them. Party with them, be with them, spend time with them, and release the anointed word all over them. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the needy. Don't bother preaching good news to the arrogant. It's a complete waste of time. Preach good news to the poor. He said, I'm here to recover sight for the blind, to release the prisoners, to declare the day of Jubilee. That's what I'm here for, to bring liberty and freedom to the world around about me. So be the church. Stop being Sunday bound. Be the living church of God and get back to mission. You're the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, this is a filling station. It's a family reunion. Tomorrow we're back on the mission fields. And the mission fields, if you haven't realized, are white under harvest. You got to find the white. You're so enamored by the broken and so enamored by the don't come here, don't touch me, that you haven't realized that out there is a harvest that's white. It's out there. It's just that you want to seek it. And if you seek it, you'll begin to find it. Because this city, the place where you live, it's an open door. Otherwise, you may as well be dead. May as well just live permanently in the presence of God. It's an open door. I'm not even prophesying. I'm just saying. There's an open door to your city, to your town. Decision four is 1 Kings 18:43-45. Go and look toward the sea. He told the servant, and he went and looked. There's nothing there, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariots and go down before the rain stops. Meanwhile, the sky grew black. As a church, we're going back to what God said. It's fundamental, this. It's never worth going on Twitter. Because so paranoid with and so full of what people say. And some of you are caught in the cyclone of what people say. You spend too much time with people. Too much time trying to please people. This is our moment as a church to go back to what God said. To what God said. In Jeremiah, he says his word is like a hammer. His word's like a fire. Well, that's mighty. In Psalms, his word is a lamp unto our feet, a light to our path. That's mighty. His word in Hebrews, it says that his word is living and is active. It's like a two-edged sword. That's what his word's like. In Timothy, it says that his word is profitable to rebuke, profitable to correct, because it's filled with authority. It takes crooked things and makes them straight. It takes cold things and makes them alive. This is the power of the word of God. Recommend while we're preaching to take notes. Simply out of respect for the authority of God's word. Now, I do it because I've got ADHD. So I'm always taking notes, drawing little pictures at the same time. But I got notes upon notes, and I'll go back through those notes and find out and pull out the stuff, the fire. I'm pulling out the fire, the firebrands. I'm pulling out the lamps and pulling out the direction and pulling out the authority. So I suggest in Hope City Church that we respect God's word more and be less casual about it, more stringent about living according to God's word. Here's decision number 5, and if you have been asleep, wake up right now. It's the last one, but this tells us about our plans for Waverly. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 6. Then that man asked, where did it fall? Last week's message, you haven't got it, then you need to go online, you need to go on podcasts, on iTunes podcasts and find it. Elijah cut a stick, threw it in, and made the iron float. This is go back to your sweet spot. He'd lost his cutting edge. The prophet had lost his cutting edge. He'd lost his axe head. He was building a bigger place. Last week's message was called upsizing. We're not into downsizing. We're into upsizing. And he lost his cutting edge. And the prophet said, where did you lose it? It's really important for you to know where you lost it. Because there was someone when somebody did something to you and bitterness entered into your heart, that's where you lost it. It was that half hour moment of madness, that's where you lost it. It's that sense of guilt, that's where you lost it. It was that message that you had. You were praying so much for your mother and believing God, and then she passed away. That's where you lost it. And it's important to grab the cross, because the cross is the remedy for every one of life's ills. To throw the cross of healing, the wood, the cross of healing, onto exactly the place that you lost it. Oh, I just got to say, I have to say this, it'll mean nothing to you, but I had two people in my life that I just started to hate them. No, seriously, every time I go for a prayer walk, I'd be thinking about these two people, thinking how much of these, I'd just have a conversation, how much have they let you down, Dave? And I'd be thinking, a lot, Lord. Oh, Dave, sorry, don't call myself Lord. And I'm thinking, they have so let you down, they should have been there for you. They weren't there for you. And it just started off as a little seed. And I thought, yeah, theoretically it would let me down. Then it became more than the theory. It became practical. And it was the truth that let me down. But it became more than just the truth that let me down. It had become septic. You know, I couldn't just cry about it. I just couldn't. It was just like a mess. And it was starting to paralyze me. I'm just saying, it'll mean nothing to you, but I was just walking home from a prayer walk maybe 3-4 months ago. I don't know where this come from. It just must have come from heaven, a moment of clarity. I said, Lord, I am choosing to forgive these people. Just to forgive them. I don't know why those moments aren't just all the time, but it was a special transference. And I just thought, that's it. they're fine. They're fine. They're called humans, Dave. You know, I've done what they've done to me. I've done to other people. It's just called humanity. It's the brokenness of humanity. And I just felt a release from it. And what was that? It was throwing the cross in at a place of hatred. It was an answer to myself. So much so, a couple of days later, people were talking about these people, and I didn't even enter into the conversation. I thought, Dave, you healed. There's no need to add to it. There's no need to add fuel to the fire. They might have hurt a few other people, but don't add fuel to the fire. You totally, and I just, and even me talking about now, I feel totally cleansed. But it was a battle. And I understand that life's a battle. It's thicker than you realize. I don't know how you live without the cross. I don't know how you live without applying the cross, without throwing the wood in the place that you lost it. I feel like this part of my journey coming back to my sweet spot. As a church, think, what are our sweet spots as a church? And we realize that just about every leader that's come from Hope City Church who's been out planting churches and being apostolically sent came from our student ministry. Just about everyone bar two, come from our student ministry. I thought, whoa, what a review that is. And then I realized also how the mega center here has become a hive of activity for mercy. It smells like mercy. It's totally accepting. It's become a hub where people feel like $1 million when they walk in. And leave feeling like $100 million when I leave. And I realized that our plans for Waverley to move our church between here and the M1 to Waverley, which is a new development. It's close to the M1. And the purpose was in order to build a regional church. And we have planned that since 2014. And when I took over the reins as lead pastor in Sheffield, I just paused it. I thought, Dave, do what God's saying. Go back to your roots. Go back to the magic that made this place so miraculous. Go back to who you are. Go back to your sweet spot. And so we just paused it, and then we realized that if we did that, we'd have to have another location on the inner city, because what would happen to inner city people and to students? They'd have to be separated from everybody else. And I thought, Dave, are you prepared to separate the church in such a way that the genius is left in the city while you're attempting this brand new project of creating a huge regional church out in Waverley? You're kind of cutting your nose off to spite your face. And then we realized that in order to do multifaceted community work, the best place to be is in the epicenter of the city. It's hard to do multifaceted community work in Waverley, and we'd have to still have something for all that we do with City Hearts and all that we're doing at the Vision Center. So again, we'd have to then buy another building after selling this building in order to replicate what we're currently doing in the city. And to me, I'm thinking, Dave, what you need is you need a city campus. It's what you need. And so we've decided that Waverley's going to come home. We signed the Waverley, even though we spent a lot of money on trying to do all the pre-development. And if you know about costings, that's a lot of money. But I realized it's slightly off course. Why don't we move it? Downsize that building. Buy the land across where we park our cars. And develop the building there. And then revamp the mega center here. And we came to the conclusion that to do that is half the price of Waverley with twice the capacity of Waverley. And we've developed a city campus. And we're knocking on the door of the council because of the block of land just there on that side of the railway line that the council owns. They've done it before. They've given it off a peppercorn. They've given it to a charity, an organization, to do what they like on it. So there's potential for years to come to create a proper campus. It's hard to go back. It's because you can feel a bit embarrassed. You can feel like, well, I've marched so far and here I am. And it's hard to go back. You're open to criticism. When it comes to leadership, I'd have to say that we've made a leadership faux pas. But then I realized that the goodness of leadership is after you've made a faux pas, what do you do about it? And you go back. You repent. And go back. Brush yourself down. You start again. This entire building, it's going to cost a lot. This mega center will cost $1.4 million to put right. I don't know if you know about buildings. Whole of the brickwork needs fixing. The windows need fixing. The roof needs fixing. We're going to tattoo it. We're going to make it a huge landmark. Have a look at this idea that Joe Denise put together. Tell me if it's up. It's going to come up. Is it up? Next picture. That's same old window, same old brickwork, but it's just a little idea. And then across the road, next picture. Sheffield Parkway, bang on the parkway. That'll hold an 800-seater. It's bigger than you could imagine. There's parking underneath it. Next picture. It's kind of like 3-4 stories high. You can keep that up there. I think it's better. I think, you know, despite Waverley becoming like HS2, the budget for HS2, it's far better to halve the budget, double the capacity in a location that doesn't split the church. Uh-huh. And it's just coming back to our sweet spot of mercy, sweet spot of internship, a sweet spot with students. Had a low intake this year of students. Last year had a low intake, but I just believe it's just satanic that the walls of Jericho harden up just before the breakthrough. That's my word about it. What's your word? So we're going to ask permission for, I don't know if we have to or not, I'm just going to do it. Everyone who's given to Waverley since 2014, ask permission to move the money that we have in reserve from our offerings minus our expenses, to get permission from each person to transfer that into our city vision. It's really the same purpose. It's just Waverley's coming home. But, you know, because it's changing locations, and we did say it partly was to reach Waverley, there's a few conditional changes, so I just need to do that properly and pull everyone in and say, are you willing? If you're not, we'll just take that to Charities Commission and hopefully you can get your money back. But I'm looking to the dream offering now. Because this dream offering, we need between 150 and 300,000 pounds in this dream offering. It's on the 31st of March. It's in 2 months' time. I got a strong feeling, General, I'll give 5,000 pounds to it. And I say that just to, you can guess my income. Just a benchmark, because sometimes we've got no benchmark about what we're doing. Just we think, yeah, that's good. Who knows that's good? Comparison at times is bad, but at times comparison is good. But we're looking between 150 and 300,000. And we're looking because our first stage of fixing this place up cost 600,000 pounds. Going to redo the entrance. We're going to rebrand it so we can start conference, get the conference business rolling within this place. We're going to buy the land across the road there, which costs 300,000 pounds. Hopefully get it for cheaper, but that's the price at the moment, is 300,000 pounds. Want to buy that. And you know, the release comes supernaturally, but it also comes to the unity of the people. And I want you to brush yourself down and freshen yourself up. I just think it's a brand new day. I can feel it in the air. You can feel it in worship. You could feel it while Lou spoke this morning. This is a brand new day. I'm trying to bring revival to your spirits. I'm trying to get you passionate for Christ again. I'm trying to get us back to our first love and filled again with the Holy Spirit, spending time being saturated and filled with the giver of life in order to take that life on a mission to people that know nothing of that life. I'm trying to get that happening. I'm trying to find the right clothing and the right vehicle. I think we found it. It'll take quite some time to start building across the road. There's going to take an absolute miracle of some people giving financially in miracle dimensions. But we speak things that are not as though they already are. And in the meantime, we do our dream offerings. We all pitch in. We all give. We all sacrifice. We all bleed for this thing. And eventually we leave a legacy for the next generation that says, thank you very much for what you did. There'll be dirt under our fingernails. There'll be blood coming from our side. There'll be blood coming from our fingers. And that'll be the blood of love. I say it often that Spurgeon was reading Revelation 5 verse 6 where there's a bloodied lamb in heaven. He said, what's a bloodied lamb doing in heaven? It should be a fluffy lamb. It should be a beautiful white lamb. Why a bloodied lamb? Why the lamb without glory? And then he said to himself, the bloodied lamb is the glory. The fact that you'd walk on broken glass is your glory. The fact that you've got a limp is your glory. The fact that you're scarred is your glory. It's just to make it glorious. You just need to get up one more time and you got knocked down. Shake it off. Shake it off. Come back to your sweet spot. Come back to the place where you lost it. We'll be writing to everybody, telling people about the vision, sending a brochure to every person. If we haven't got you on the address list, then why don't you fill out the connections form and give it in this morning over here, and so we can keep all of you vibrantly connected with the next stage of Hope City Church. I hope that's informative, but I hope that stirs your spirit up. I've wrapped it not in junk. I've wrapped it in true spirituality this morning. I feel very confident about it, you know, and I feel like I feel like right now this ain't backwards. This is going back to go forwards. And I think I'm unlocking something here in the spirit. I'm locking something in you. And you can imitate that in your own life. There's readjustments you need to make. There's things that you've missed out on. And you can do the same in your own life. There's nothing embarrassing about it. Well, slightly embarrassing, but who cares when you're here under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, wanting to please the Father at all moments. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, release the genius. Release the genius that's inside every one of these hearts and lives here. Father, release them back into the fullness of the Holy Spirit, into the fullness of their purpose and the fullness of their destiny. Father, wipe away tears. And Father God, heal broken hearts, God. And Father, release us from the jailer and release us from the chains. Father, fill our hearts to overflowing with the Spirit that will keep on flowing. And Father, bring us, each one of us, back. Bring us back into our sweet spot. Let the cutting edge rise out of the waters again. And Father, I thank you, God, for all that you are to us. I pray for everybody online, Jesus, that you do exactly the same, Lord God. And Father God, you'd wipe away their tears. And Father God, that you'd bring back their strength and bring back their authority and bring back a new day that would equate to God's plan stored up for them, that you haven't missed it. You're about to join back with it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, let's stand up. Let's give God a clap offering of praise. Come on, let's praise Him, for the walls of Jericho are coming tumbling down. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty King.
We hope you've enjoyed our podcast today. If you have, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast right on our homepage so you can hear all the latest streams from Hope City Church. Why not head to our website at hopecity.church to keep up to date with all that's happening across Hope City.